time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Yes, my hope is in the you glad you got a hope? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of God this morning? Had a great time here last night. Haven't even enjoyed the word of the Lord. Brother David just really blessed our heart, didn't he? Amen. Looking forward to the service today, what God has in store for us. It's going to be something good. I promise you, it's going to be good. Hadn't ever been to a bad one. Have you? It's camp meeting every service around here. We can't help it. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give the Lord one good hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. So glad you're here. Trust you've come to receive something from the Lord today. Let us say this morning, first of all, before we forget it, God bless all of our fathers, our dads. Trust you have just a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. May God bless you. And if you've got family here, maybe they'll take you out to a good meal after a while or something. Hopefully, anyway. Brother Larry, I just said that on your behalf. Okay. Philip, that's all on you now. All right. Let's give our fathers a nice hand this morning, if you will. Praise the Lord. Now, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Sunday morning. Play some more of that. Let's sing it for us one more time. Bless you. You can be seated for just a few minutes. Brother Daniel, if you get ready to come this morning, pray over our prayer request. Brother Daniel Torres, he says, thank you so much for your prayers, your help, the food, the medicine, etc. All the things that you did while I have been recuperating from surgery. God bless you all. Brother Danny, we've been sure missing you, buddy. We're sure glad you're able to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Certainly appreciate Brother Danny. Well, we just appreciate that Therese pack pretty much every one of them, don't we? We sure do, brother. Amen. Brother Carter Lawson says that a sister wants prayer for her son that is having surgery this week, that everything will go well. So let's remember that. Also a prayer for my daughter-in-law's grandmother. She needs a touch from our Lord. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning on those folks' behalf. Sister Janet Lehman says to please pray for my sister, Peggy Knight. She had cancer surgery 2 years ago. The doctors think that they found more cancer. Pray that God will give her faith in her heart to believe for her healing. So let's remember that need as we pray today. Tara Snodgrass has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Adam Ward sends this in to please pray for the family of Charlie Paget. He is a friend of mine who lost his father and his 18-year-old daughter on the same day. They are in such shock and really need a touch from the Lord to comfort them and get them through this difficult time. So let's remember that family in prayer as we pray. Brother George says, please continue to pray for my niece, Angela Boyd. She has an infection in her foot. They're thinking that the level of the infection has not yet got to her bones. So they're asking that we would just continue to remember that prayer request on her behalf. This testimony, this is from Brother Terry Horn. I know he's a happy husband and a happy father today and a wonderful Christian brother. And we love Brother Terry. Again, I want to publicly thank the Lord Jesus for Alice's 10th anniversary of her second transplant. whereas Duke Medical Center only gave her a year to a year and a half to live, and he wants to praise the Lord. He wants to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we all just want to praise the Lord. I was just thinking about her prayer request I turned in here probably over 2 years ago for a young man that was a manager of a Priceless Foods over in Kingsport, Tennessee. And he had cancer. They sent him to Orlando, Florida. I believe it was Orlando for all kinds of just serious operations. His whole insides were just, he's got a fragment or a portion of his entire stomach system, and he was just really, really in bad shape. But you know what? The Lord came on the scene for that young man. He worked with me on Friday on a Little Debbie cake route, able to work, able to get out, and I just want to thank the Lord for that. I want to praise God for that. God is certainly mindful of all of our situations, and you know, a lot of folks don't know anything about what we believe, but they've got simple faith to believe God for their healing. Therefore, they get their healing. God honors faith. Is that right? And I appreciate people that can have faith for their healing. God bless every one of them. God, may God heal every one of them. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, could we stand? Brother Daniel, God bless you. We appreciate this guy right here too, don't we? Amen. Say something about the dads. They'll get mad if you don't.
All I can say is I want to give honor to my Heavenly Father. He's the greatest one of them all. My dad's been there for quite a few years, but my Heavenly Father still takes care of me from day to day. He supplies my every need. Amen. I want you to remember Brother Donnie will be preaching this morning in Texas, so let's pray that God be with him. Let's pray over these needs today. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for what you mean to me. Thank you for the service that we were in last night. Thank you, God, for keeping us under the shelter of your wings, knowing, Lord, that you say you'll never leave us, never forsake us. God, many times when we're down, don't know which way to go. God, I'm so thankful that you show us the right direction to go. Heavenly Father, we bring our requests, our needs before your throne this morning. God, I couldn't remember all these requests, but God, you know every one of them. And God, we know that they are important to these people. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you move for them right now. God, for those over the internet that got needs, move for them also. God, may your hand just sweep over them. May they feel your heavenly touch. Heavenly Father, we pray for this service today. God, that you be with Brother David, that you give him the words that you have him say. Help us that we'll be able to receive them. Help us, oh God, that we'll walk holy in your presence, knowing that the hour is close. God, when we won't have no more opportunities, the door will be shut. God, I pray that you'll help us. Heavenly Father, move for our church. Move for the people. Be with our pastor, Lord Jesus. Be with the congregation. God, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement before we sing this morning. We'll have a couple of specials for you. The youth banquet forms, they are due today. We must know if you're attending, please fill out a form, bring it to the library. So today is the final day to do that. Young people, take advantage of that opportunity. If you can, fill out a form, take it to the library, and go to that youth banquet. I'm certain you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, we want to say one thing this morning about our vacation Bible school. I didn't attend any of the services or the gatherings, but I was over there before the thing got started, and to just see the work and the preparation that had went into all that your children and grandchildren got to enjoy. It was a monumental task at hand. I'm telling you that right now. To Brother Michael Bailey and to all of the Sunday school staff and all the helpers, whoever you are, I'm not going to call names. I did call Michael's name, but I know he gets mad if you don't. So, Brother Michael, bless your heart. But all of you that was involved in that, God bless you so very much. Let's give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I know the kids, Brother West gave us a little summary last night of his particular class, the young people. But I know these young children, I know everybody that was involved just had a real, real good time. And may God bless you. Now, let me tell you this morning. You be encouraged. Everybody be encouraged this morning. Because the reason that you're standing here this morning, you're fixing to stand in front of Him in just a few days. Are you glad about it? Are you glad He's given you eternal life? Somebody say praise the Lord. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, I want to get a good report, don't you? Sing it, buddy.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled my Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I bow before His mighty throne,
yes, we will,
and fall down on my knees.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
It's not been easy. At times I lost my way. So often I stumble, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. But when the whispering of doubt and fear told me you'll lose it all, chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will pay from me. I bow before His mighty throne and fall down.
Face and the heroes and the martyrs the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Sing that second verse again.
The road has not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you'd lose it all, but He's kept me. Chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, every battle that I fought,
it'll fade from memory.
I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down.
The Lord. Let's see if we can do a little bit of this old song, Gone. We've not done it, have we? Well, right now is a perfect time to learn it. Got a good crowd to help us learn it. This is an old Teddy Huffam song. It's called Gone. Before we do that, this is a prayer request that came in late from Sister Lubine. Please pray for my sister Sharon. Her surgery went well, but she's having a lot of pain. The doctors don't understand why. Please remember her in your prayers. So we'll just pray. When Brother David comes out, I'm sure he'll pray, and we'll just include her in our prayer. But let's sing a little bit of this song this morning if we can.
Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. Oh, the stone was moved. The Lord gone away. The angel said, "Fear not, I know whom seek ye, for He is risen." This she heard Him say.
Gone, the stone is rolled back.
Oh,
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for singing so good. God bless you. I love that look on Brother Harry's face when I know, when he knows that I'm going to have him sing a verse that he ain't never sung before. I just love that look you give me, bud. I know it's a look I will kill you after church. But we sure appreciate God's people, don't we? Amen. Now we've got a couple of specials this morning. Brother Brandon had a request to sing with his son again, the song that they did last night. If his son will come on up here real quickly. Is he going to help you this morning, Brother Brandon? If he'll come up on the platform. I asked Brother Brandon, I said, you sing just as little as possible and let him sing a lot. And Brother Brandon said he'd try to do that. Also, the Cobbs are here this morning again. They're going to give us a song. I don't know how they've got it arranged, but we certainly enjoyed them last night, didn't we? Let's give our singers a nice hand. We'll go right on into the service this morning.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's a love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you draw. Still as you draw me deeper, still as you draw me deeper, still as you love, 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 love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Brother Harry, I'm very familiar with that look Brother Luke was talking about. These guys over here told me at 11:05 I was going to sing this with them. So I don't want y'all to listen to us sing this. I want y'all to help us sing it and sing it really loud so you don't hear us much.
Amen.
Because it's not about us. It's about Him. Amen. And because of Him, we're all together members of a blood-washed band. And we're going to sing that for you. Y'all help us.
We're a band of Christian soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. If His precious blood has cleansed you and has washed away your sin, that makes you a member of that blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of that blood-washed band.
Oh, God's children are advancing, marching till we reach that goal. For the battle's almost over, we'll soon be going home. And hear the sound of angels as the saints go marching in, singing praises to the captain of that blood-washed band.
Praise God, I'm a member of that blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of that blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of that blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of that blood-washed band. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of that blood-washed band.
Hallelujah.
Well, that was good, wasn't it? Guys, thanks a lot. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand this morning. Certainly appreciate our songs, our singers. Appreciate you as a congregation. May God bless you. Brother David Siler is going to come and bring us the word of the Lord this morning. You know, Brother David and his family, they came in here. And they made a good church a better church. And we certainly appreciate them, don't we? We appreciate Brother David, his ministry, the family. Just really, really, really a fine family. And all you folks that just come here and make up this assembly, you're special people. In God's eyes, you're the cream of the crop. We ain't all of it, but aren't you glad we're part of it? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus this morning as Brother David gets ready to come. I believe they sang a little bit of it last night. But I'm amazed at the love of my Lord Jesus. What He's done for me, where He's brought us from. Are you glad about it today? Let's sing a little bit of that chorus. I'm amazed that You love me.
I'm amazed that You love me. I'm amazed how You care. Oh.
I'm so glad my sins is gone. We stand perfectly in the presence of God with no sin on us whatsoever. And so much that Brother Ram would tell us in the message, Invisible Union, you never done it in the first place. By faith, I believe that this morning. Amen. Amen. While you're standing this morning, I'm going to invite you into the scripture again to the book of Psalms chapter 27. We'll try to just dig right into the word this morning. Psalms chapter 27. I want to read verses 1 through 6. And then I want to read Psalms 91 and 1. And we'll give you our subject this morning. We're actually just continuing from what we'd looked at last night. And we will not have any time to be able to background any. But we'll just try to go best we can to get everybody on board with us for what we're looking at. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, Brother Ram's text for the message of the rapture. A psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, and He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now Psalms 91 and 1, just one verse of scripture there. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what I'd like to speak to you on, that little subject there, the secret place of the Most High. Let's bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us, if you would. Lord Jesus, you see the need that was, Lord, spoken here a few moments ago. We know, Lord, that you're mindful, Lord, and we ask that you would just come, Lord, and move in this situation. Lord, we give it into your hands, knowing, Lord, that you're a great provider for our needs, and we ask that you would move. Lord, for this service this morning, Father, we're under great expectation of what you'll say and what you will speak to us. Lord, we come just to yield ourselves into your presence, Lord, me and this congregation alike. Lord, that for this time this morning, Lord, that we've set aside to honor your resurrection. Lord, I pray that we would be able just to, Lord, take all the things of the day and the next week and last week, and may they just leave our minds for a few moments, Lord, and help us to be able to focus in upon your word. Lord, we ask that you would anoint us, Lord, for without your anointing, we're nothing. But Lord, we need you to anoint us, Lord. Anoint the words to our lips and to our hearts, Lord, and to our ears this morning, that we could hear by the anointing, we pray. Father, we just give ourselves into your hand, Lord. Bless this congregation, our gathered together. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. I want to start in the book of Haggai chapter 2 this morning. And I'm going to lay this foundation for what we're looking at now in according to these temples, as we looked at a couple of them last night. And then we know that we're living in the closing moments, that God is wanting to tabernacle himself within human instrumentality, not just a place of stone or mortar or clay, but Jesus says that a body thou hast prepared me. And so his desire is to live in a body. And then we see that if God's going to keep that pattern the same as we looked at last night, he's going to have to be able to bring it in the same way he did the first time. Now, we know that God does it, of course. He has no higher way to reveal his word than a prophet. And we believe that God reveals his word by a prophet. And here is, of course, here is Israel as they have been in Babylonian captivity for quite some time. And now as they come out of Babylon, as they come out of her, they are now fixing to be required by God to do something. And here Haggai picks up what God is requiring of them. And he tells them this in Haggai chapter 2. He said, in the seventh month, the one of the 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord to the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who's left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes the comparison as of nothing? But yet now be strong. O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, be strong, O Joshua, you son of Josedek, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land. And the Lord says, and will work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all the nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, glory. The silver is mine, and the deity is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place, I will give thee a shalom. In this place, I will give thee peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, of course, they're coming out of this Babylonian captivity where they had been for quite some time. And now, of course, we're going to take that and we're going to parallel them coming out of Babylon with you and I. We've come out of spiritual Babylon. And we know here that we read that Haggai is admonishing, and he's actually encouraging Zerubbabel to take the temple that had been torn down. Of course, Solomon's temple has been destroyed and been torn down, and he's telling them that the people need a place to be able to worship. And now he's telling them that it's going to be required. I want you, Zerubbabel, I want you to go in without fear, without favor. I want you to go in and rebuild this temple. Now, he's telling them, you can rebuild it because, and you have nothing to fear, because the same spirit that brought Israel out of Egypt, the same spirit is the one that brought you out of this captivity. Hallelujah. And that same spirit is going to help you to be able to build this temple. Now, we know that because if the Lord's going to be with him, and the Lord's going to allow this to be constructed according to pattern. Remember the pattern that was showed to Moses in the mount. And then Solomon built his tabernacle according to the exact pattern that Moses built his after. And now he's telling them that you don't have to fear. There's a reason he's saying this. It's because there's always fighting when it comes to rebuilding the temple of God. That's where the enemy's going to focus all of his attention at, is at the rebuilding of that temple. Let me just say this. That's why Satan comes against us like he does in this hour. That's the reason why. It's because he's trying to be able to stop the temple from being completed. But I'll just remind you, he will not stop it. He will not hinder this work that is going on. He will not hinder this bride from coming to perfection. He will not hinder the bride, this temple, the Holy Ghost, this tabernacle that dwells among us. He cannot stop it. Yes, he's going to fight against it. Yes, he's going to do everything he can. But no, he'll not be able to stop it. Now watch, because the first house was built by Solomon, and we know that David wanted to build him a place, but God says, David, you shall not build me a place before you've shed too much blood, but I have ordained the son of David to build me a temple. Now we know that when God reveals himself, he reveals himself in three sons' names. He reveals himself as son of man, son of God, and son of David. And we know that he was here under the first advent of his coming as son of man, and then it moved from there to the church ages, which he was revealed himself as son of God. And then, of course, in the millennium, he's going to reveal himself as son of David. But there is a place between the son of God and the son of David that God reveals himself under the office of son of man. And I believe we're living in that day right now where he's revealing Christ, the son of man, to the bride. Now, we know that he's telling us that the son of David is going to build a temple. But I want to say this, and Jesus was the temple of Jehovah. Jesus, the body, Jesus, the man, was the temple of Almighty God dwelling in humanity. You believe that? Oh, but Jesus is going to have a temple. I said Jesus is going to have a place to dwell. He's going to have somebody who's going to embody him. He's going to have somebody who's going to tabernacle his deity. Who's going to tabernacle his silver and his gold and his deity. Oh, remember in the scripture how Jesus asked, he said, Peter, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answers him in Matthew 16:18. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. He said, Peter, who do you say I am? I say you're the Christ. And then in turn, Jesus calls him by name. Amen, somebody. I say thou art the Christ. And the Peter, he said, I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter upon this rock. Not Peter. But upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Balaam said, because he said that, it proved the gates of hell would be against the building of this tabernacle. Amen, brother and sister. Every gun in hell is aimed at you and I. Amen. Satan's going to be against it. He's going to try to stop the progression and the building of it. But it's already been prophesied. It's already been said in the vision. You've already been seen in the vision. There's already been seen in the vision. Those that have overcome. And they overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. We're going to have a testimony that we overcome. We're going to have a testimony that we've conquered something. Hey guys, telling Zerubbabel, he tells them, after they come out, after you come out, you got to rebuild the temple. Now notice, it's not just good enough to come out. Think about it now, you can't just come out, but you got to have something to go into. Once you come out, you've got to restore the house of the Lord. Because God's got to have a place to dwell among us. And now remember, Brett tells us that redemption has two parts. Coming out of and going into. As a lot of people's come out, but they ain't never went into nothing. Israel could come out of Egypt, but they got to go into something. He didn't just call Israel to come out. He told her to come out of Egypt to go into the promise. He didn't just tell us to come out, but in order to complete redemption, we must come out and we must go into. Hallelujah. Now Ezra picks it up in Ezra chapter 3, and I'm moving very quickly because we got a lot to look at and a short time to do it again. But Ezra picks this up, and he said in the second year of the coming into the house of God to Jerusalem, in the second month shall begin Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites. Oh, everybody's getting involved. And they that were come out of the captivity into Jerusalem. They come out of captivity, but they don't remain just out of captivity. They go into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You and I don't just come out of denominationalism, but God has prepared a place for us. There is a city. Oh, hallelujah. It's called the New Jerusalem, and He's prepared a place for us to go into. We come out of denomination. We go back into the spiritual Jerusalem. You come out into captivity into Jerusalem. Appoint the Levites from the 20 years old and upward to set forth the work of the house of the Lord. And when the builders, glory, laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets. And Levites, the son of Asaph, the cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. And they sang together, hallelujah, by the course in praising, giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people folded their arms and got mad. All the people was discouraged because of the building. But brother, when they saw the Levites get in their place, and they saw the Zerubbabel get in his place, and they saw Yeshua get in his place, and the people recognized we're coming back to pure worship. We're coming back to a God-ordained position under the word of God. And the people begin to worship, and the Bible said, all the people shouted with a great shout. Brother, we got a right to shout tonight. We got a right to rejoice tonight. We've seen the book come open. We've seen a mighty angel descend. We got a right to rejoice. Amen. Now, I got a lot of coffee in me this morning. You just hang on. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Because, oh listen, I want you to notice, they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Oh God, let me say it. Under the book of Ephesus and Acts chapter 2, when they saw the foundation stone come down from heaven, then a bird, a light, a wind blew into the upper room. And they got excited about it. And that's the foundation of the church. Amen. The foundation, the Alpha, was laid under shoutings and rejoicings and praisings. The foundation, the beginning of it. And He is Alpha and He is Omega. And whatever His pattern is what His pattern will be. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of fathers who were ancient men. Oh, listen now. Many of the priests, the Levites, the chief of the fathers who were ancient men, they had seen the first house, glory, when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes. They wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Brother Elizabethan ought to be able to hear us. Jackson City ought to be able to hear us. Those that have come around us, there shouldn't be no temple safe, no temple around us that cannot recognize something's happened on this life. Those that had seen the original foundation was rejoicing and shouting. What are you shouting about? Because they see restoration coming into effect. I said they see the restoration of all things. Oh, let me quote Acts chapter 3. They see the restitution of all things, that Jesus must remain in heaven until the restitution of all things. He shows Himself among them. Immediately He shows Himself among them. I'm talking about the living God. And now, when God shows up, and when God shows up, He always shows out. Satan got mad. And when Satan got mad, I want you to notice, here they come just at the foundation of the church. Is that all right? Just at the foundation age. And immediately Satan begins to attack that age, that church, that building. And Ezra says it like this in 4:1. And when the adversaries of Judah, if you don't remember, Judah is the tribe of praise. When the adversaries of praise and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple to the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said, let's just all come together. We all believe the same thing. We all serve the same God. I mean, you read from the Bible and we read from the Bible. Let us build with you. For we seek your God. No, you don't. Because Paul said there's more than one Jesus. Paul said they come preaching another Jesus. They do not believe the same God we believe. They do not serve the same Lord that we serve. We serve the Lord that is alive. We don't serve a Lord of 50 years ago. We don't serve a Lord that moved in Durban, Africa. We serve a risen Savior that is right here in this building to occupy every heart, to move in every temple, every life. For we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto Him since the days of Restaurant King of Asher. Watch. But Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the fathers of the church Israel said unto them, you ain't got nothing to do with us. You have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. Not your God, our God. But we ourselves together, we're going to build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. We're going to build according to what the king said. Then the people, now watch, when you don't go along with their pet doctrines and their pet ideas, you'll find out always what they are. If their doctrine is right, they'd have the right spirit. But prove them that they're wrong, their spirit proved that they was wrong. And the Bible said in verse 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and they troubled them in the building, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. You want to know why you fight hell? Because the enemy is frustrating the purpose of the rebuilding of this temple. You want to know why it feels like we go through hell so much? It's because the enemy's trying to frustrate the purpose. Listen to me, young people. You want to know why you fight? It's because the enemy sees you're rebuilding the temple. He sees you're coming to completion. We're right at the capstone. We're right at the headstone. And he sees that it's working. But the enemy's going to come and frustrate the people. Now, I ain't got time to preach all this. But you understand, if you're going to read it for yourself, you'll find that they come so much against them that they begin to write letters against them. I said they put it on Facebook. They created websites. And it ain't nothing but a lie straight out of hell. It ain't nothing but an antichrist spirit trying to frustrate the people who's going back to the original tabernacle. Move, and I'm going to tell you, it's that same spirit that tried to slow down the tabernacle in the wilderness, the same spirit that rejected the stone in Solomon's temple, is the same antichrist spirit that's run from papal Rome to pagan Rome, and has come right down among us, and now we see 200,000 demons has been released upon you to frustrate your purpose. They write letters against them, sends it to the king, and for a temporary time, God have mercy, for a temporary space of time, the temple was halted in its construction. The work was stopped underneath the first age from bringing the entirety of the church to the rapture, as we say. Amen, somebody. So Ezra chapter 5 shows how the builders of this temple is building it, but now it's stopped. And I want to say this. It may look like it's never going to be completed. And you may feel like it'll never be completed because your purpose has been frustrated. I want to say this the best I know how. But I want you to remember, they may delay the construction, but he will not stop this construction. He will not stop you from coming to it. Amen. Think about it. For about 7 church ages, now here they write letters, and here the Antichrist comes in and he rides on every different kind of a horse to try to delay the construction. Amen. But the king gets the letter. Insomuch they come down to where they's at, and they said, we want the names of the men that's building this temple. Give me the names of the people around this message that you consider they're really building this temple. It'd be real easy to get lockjaw under the squeeze, wouldn't it? Can I say it like this? Tell me, which one of you is one of his disciples when Jesus is hanging on the cross? Which one? Give me a name of them. What's your name? Didn't I see you with him? I don't know him. Wasn't you one of them? I don't even know him. But the king, glory, the king takes and investigates it for himself. Then the king found these men to be honest. And the Bible says in Ezra 6:3, in the first year of Cyrus, king of the same Cyrus, the king that made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, the king said, let the house be built. Let the house be built, the place where they offered sacrifices. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. And the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits, and with 3 rows of great stones, hallelujah, and the row of new timber, let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Not only are they going to continue the building, but they got the king paying for the rebuilding of the house of the Lord. And he's now notice these men, they come up and they said, also let the gold and the silver vessels of the house of God. Which now notice, because whenever Solomon's temple was raided, they came in there and the Nebuchadnezzar came in and he stole the vessels of God from the house, the treasuries of the Lord. And now here is the king, and the king's command is, let the golden and the silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, let them be what? Restored. And brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and put them in the house of God. The king's command is, whatever's been taken from the time they went into captivity. You can't make this up. This is powerful. Whatever was taken and stolen from them when they went into captivity, I want you to restore everything back. All that the caterpillar, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, everything that's been stolen from the house of God, I say restore it, saith the Lord. Restore that silver redemption. Restore that deity back to the house of God. Restore it, saith the Lord. After they come out of Babylon, now they've got to come to restoration. Oh my, I said that after they come out, some things has got to be restored. Redemption has got to be restored. The silver vessels of God. And the silver, of course, we know is represented under redemption. And I'll just say this, I'm identified by that silver vessel. Amen. So here comes the king. And the king opens the book and he makes a decree to restore the vessels of silver back into their position. Amen. Because when the book come open, there were some vessels. There were some vessels whose names was underneath that seal. Amen. Brother, you can't, now notice, you cannot get the completion of the temple without there being redemption in the temple. And you cannot bring back the true restoration of the temple unless there's deity in that temple. We can't just sit around and talk about a God of history. We can't just talk about a God that used to be and a God that was. We got to lift him up out of history. Come on, somebody. We got to lift him up out of history and make sure he's been restored back to where he come from. And then in Zechariah chapter 4, and I notice Zechariah is going to bring this same temple in. And the Bible said, the angel talked with me again, and he waked me as a man that awakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I've looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereof, and the seven pots of the seven lamps which are on the top thereof. And then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. And the word always comes to the... And the word of the Lord... Come, word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Oh, I love this. Saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? What's prophecy? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings. Come on, somebody. It started with shoutings. It started with rejoicings. And now he's telling them that the temple has got to be capped off. It's got to have a keystone. It's got to have a capstone. And when the capstone descends from heaven, it's going to come with shoutings and cryings, crying grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. I don't have time, but Moses' hands laid the foundation, and the Bible said Moses finished it. It said Solomon laid it, and then Solomon finished it. Jehovah started it, and Jehovah's going to finish it.
Jesus laid the foundation of this church. And he whose hands has laid the foundation, his hands shall also finish the foundation. He will finish the mystery as he's declared unto his servants the prophets. But he says, oh, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Now remember, that mountain was the mountain that was trying to stop the building of the temple. It was the Antichrist move. That mountain was the Antichrist trying to stop the progression of the rapture. And Zerubbabel stands out there and says, who art thou, O great mountain? In other words, what are you compared to the Word? Who art thou, O trail of the serpent? Who art thou? He prophesies and says, that mountain shall become a plain. Amen. Satan's trying to stop the progression of the church, so he throwed a mountain in the way of the completion of the temple. But the Lord comes back and says, the hands of Zerubbabel, he started it, and he's going to finish this temple. Ain't no mountain going to stop us. There ain't no enemy going to stop us. There ain't no soothsayer. There ain't no website. There ain't no Facebook account. There ain't nobody can stop it. I've already declared it, said the Lord, and then no man can stop it. It's not by might, it's not by the power of man, but it's by the Spirit of the cast on the headstone that has descended in this hour upon a living group that's believing the message of the hour. Who art thou, O great mountain? Brother, you ought to be able to wake up on Monday morning when all the hell sails against you and say, who art thou, O great mountain? Brother Branham, in the Message of Grace, picks up that scripture I just read, and he says, we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but he's also the headstone. Now, I want you to understand this. He come in three sons' names, and his first advent was Son of Man. And between Son of David and Son of God, he comes back as Son of Man at the completion. And he's telling us that the same one that came in the foundation is going to be the same one that is here in the finishing. If we'll think for a few minutes, what's Brother Random now? If we'll think for a few minutes, the seventh church age messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit. God will bring forth the church in the last days. And then the very next paragraph, Brother Ram says, Zerubbabel was the prince with Joshua. He was the one that was to bring forth the headstone. He had laid the foundation, and he took the people back to the foundation in type. Who is this Zerubbabel? Who is this Zerubbabel? He said it's the seventh church age messenger that's to restore the church back to the original. That's why he said, Message of Grace. Brother Ramsey said, it's the seventh church age messenger was to restore the faith. So Zerubbabel's job is to bring the people back to the foundation stone. His job is to bring the people back to the cornerstone. They're going to be looking at the cornerstone. We all know that these candlesticks and so forth are represented both the Jewish and the church. They were olive branches. The Bible said in the olive branch, we are the wild branch that was grafted into the root of the tame of the olive tree, Gentiles. And oh, out of these two branches come censers pipes going into the seven golden candlesticks to give light to the seven church ages. Everybody got the scene. But Ram says, Zerubbabel's the seventh messenger. And the seventh church age messenger takes the people back to Christ. Amen. Think about it. The cornerstone. It's got to be the same ministry. It's got to be the same ministry. Son of Man is Christ. It's got to be the same ministry. And that's this message that has done that. It's taken us back to Christ. Amen. And then Brother Branham says, according to the prophecy, there will come the headstone. And I want you to notice that when the headstone comes, the prince that's going to cry out the message will cry out, law, law, legalism, legalism. But he's going to cry out, he's not stuttering, but he's going to cry out, grace, grace. So we have a promise that the headstone is coming, but it's not just going to come under the law this time. Come on, somebody. It's not just going to come under the law, but it must come under grace, but not just grace. It's going to come under double grace. Not just to save your soul, but that last grace is going to do something for your body. Come on, somebody. The people that's underneath that last message, messenger's message, is going to receive double grace because there's going to be a living group who alive and remain. It's going to be changed by the very grace of Almighty God. Now, the headstone has got to connect with the body. But just like this temple, the enemy has come in. And they have actually brought in creeds and dogmas and man's idea. And they have mixed it into the church. And the headstone cannot sit upon a creed. The headstone can't sit on man's idea. He can't sit on my idea. He can't sit on your idea. He can't sit on theology. He can't sit on that. He must sit on the Word. Amen. Headstone won't be able to fit that. Brother Ram said, when the stones was put together, they had to be so smooth that they would perfectly come together. And in Solomon's temple, in the original temple, when they brought the stones from all over the world, as we looked at last night, and they brought it into this temple, he said there wasn't even a sound of a buzzsaw or a hammer or nothing, because the stones where they was made at, where they was completed at, when they come in, they fit the pattern exactly. But the headstone's got to descend. But the enemy's coming to the church. He's coming against the building of this temple. The scripture tells us who the headstone is. Colossians 1:18. The Bible said, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Again, Paul says in Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Again, he tells us, David says like this in Psalms 1:18:22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. So the headstone unites with the body. But through the ages, the church went after denominationalism. And they began to organize themselves. God would send the pure message among them. But the people didn't stay with the pure word. They organized around it. But I want to remind you, Zechariah 4:7, who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone with cryings of grace, grace unto it. He's telling the mountain, this pyramid, this plateau on top of this pyramid has got to be level. That means it's got to be flat in order for the headstone to rest upon it. It's got to be made a plain. A headstone can't fit on a creed or dogma. It can only fit on the pure word of God. Brother, put the back slide number one, if you would, if you have that available. We find that from the building of this temple, we find that once you get to the top of this temple, that there's no capstone, but there's, when Brother Ram draws it, he puts a separation between the ages and the capstone. And Brother Ram writes Holy Spirit across there, and he's telling us that the headstone cannot fit upon an age that has kicked him out of the church. Now watch. The church of Laodicea has put Christ outside his own church. And they rejected the cornerstone. And now they rejected the headstone. This age, I could preach it, this age has rejected him as far as the east is from the west. And that's the reason this Antichrist move that has come around our message is still doing the same spirit that is upon them. It's an Antichrist spirit because they're rejecting. They're not rejecting a man. They're not rejecting a man. They're rejecting the headstone Christ. So he can't sit upon it unless it becomes a plain. But Zerubbabel said, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Thou shalt become a plain. Thou shalt become a plain." Think about it. Revelation 3 puts him outside our church. And the Bible said that Jesus was standing outside the church. And he was knocking. Come on, somebody. Now, this is me. I do not believe he was knocking trying to get in. I do not believe he was trying to get back into that church. But I say it ties with Revelation 18. He ain't trying to get in. He's saying, come out from among her. Come out of her. Come out of them ideas. Come out of them Trinitarianism. Come out of that false baptism. Come out of her, my people. Why do you knock? He's knocking. He's trying to awaken the bride to the rebuilding of the temple. God sent us a prophet and said, come out of her, my people, and be you separated. Amen. He's not wanting in that age that's rejected him. Amen. He's calling a church out of a church. He's calling a bride out of a church. I want you to know it's Revelation 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, how do you get a knock? But that knock has a voice. You see it? He's knocking. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'm not coming into that church, but I'll tell you what I will come into. I'll come into him. And I'm going to sup with him. That means communion. And he's going to sup with me. Now, Brother Bram tells us that John, according to the scripture now, throne room, Brother Bram tells us that John is a type of the bride. But I want you to notice where he types the bride at. Because if you'll find that whenever John sees Christ knocking on the door, and he sees him knocking, and he's got a voice, he calls them out. But it's not just good enough to come out. You with me now? But where does John go from Revelation 3? Where does he go? Revelation 4:1. And this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, that was the trumpet talking with me. He said, come up hither and I'll show these things here or here, there or hereafter. So we can't just come out, but we've got to go in too. And the message calls the bride out of the church. And he calls her out of the church age. He calls her out of the church age. He calls her out of Laodicea. But he ain't going to call you out without having a place to call you into. We are not the church. We are the bride. John said, come up hither. Come out of that lukewarmness. Come out of that blindness. Come out of that false baptism. Come up hither. Where's John going? John is coming higher than the Pentecostal age. Can you handle it? Sign of the time, Brother Ram says it like this. We've left the Pentecostal age. We've left the Pentecostal age. We're coming to where, like in the pyramid. Not pyramid doctrines now, but I mean like it's a pyramid. The headstone, when it comes to fit, it's got to be honed. There's got to be a ministry in the church, the true church of the living God, to where when the headstone comes Christ, or the ministry of Christ, it'll fit right together perfectly. Then that brings back the redeemed to take the whole house of God to glory. Now, I'm not talking about another church age. But David's not preaching another church age. I'm talking about people that's been called higher than Laodiceans. I am not lukewarm. I am not blind. I am not wretched. I am not miserable. I am very happy. Pentecostal by organization. I'm a Pentecostal by experience. The same experience that was laid under the foundation is what I got and what you got. The headstone cannot fit upon the rejected part. Brother Abraham says it like this, be not afraid. Today when we're living in the last day, when we see the capping of the pyramid, the stone that was rejected out of the pyramid, they never did find that cornerstone, was rejected in the temple. They can't find a stone that would fit. But as she begins to heap to the top, each one of those stones coming from Luther, Methodist, Pentecost, then the church will have to get in such a place to when the real headstone comes, it'll fit right joint by joint with it. Like I said last night, the covenant, the church will have to bear the Spirit of God in so much till the Spirit will be doing the same thing works that Jesus Christ did here on earth. And the Holy Ghost having complete control before that woman, the church, can ever unite with the husband, the bride. Grandchildren will never see that. They'll just say, I'm Pentecostal, and that's all, and go right on. But I'm not saying that, because I'm not a grandchild. The church, listen very carefully, the church has grandchildren, but God ain't got not one. Matter of fact, the church has got great-grandchildren, but God ain't got one. All he has is firstborn sons and daughters of Almighty God that's been birthed the same way that Mary got it, the same way that Peter got it. It's the same way that every person in the body of Christ is going to have to get it. Firstborn! He's got to have something to descend upon that's a perfect reflection of himself. Now, Barat tells us, and I'm going to run just a few of these very quickly. Barat said, God's taken the elect out of the Pentecostal church, that hybrid, pulling it out, finishing up the Word. It's got to be so close to the Word until it'll blend with the Word. And then there comes the headstone crying, grace, grace, amazing grace, the headstone. So the headstone's not a man. The headstone's not a prophet. The headstone wasn't Paul. The headstone wasn't even Peter. The headstone is the Son of Man. But it says in the rising of the sun, and the first time there's going to come forth for the bride age. The bride age. Watch now. Not the church age, but the bride. We are not part of the church. We've been called up out of Revelation 3. We've been called into the bride. For the bride age, for a resurrection of dark denomination, it'll be a message that the full maturity of the Word has turned back again in its full power, being waved to the people by the same signs and wonders it did back there. Again, visible union. The Word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. No, sir, that was for Pentecost. But this is for the bride, the going home of the bride. We've got something different. The Pentecostals represents that again. But we're in the... I've heard, but now I see. It's beginning to pull away. The weeks begin to be seen. This is not the Pentecostal age. This is the latter-day age. This is the bright age. This is the evening light. This is when Malachi 4 must be fulfilled to follow God's pattern. Hallelujah. Modern events make clear by prophecy, we're not living in a Pentecostal age. We're living in another age. We're not living in a Methodist age. We're living in another age. We're living on up here to the bride age, the calling out of the church, getting it together for what? The rapture. That's the age that we're now living. Leadership 65. Oh, hallelujah. Notice, just before he leaves the scene, he says in the last days, it's wheat time now. It's getting harvest time. This is not Luther's age. This is not the Pentecost age. This is the bride age. Your parallel, Brother Branham, as Moses called a nation out of a nation, Christ today is calling a church out of a church. You see the same thing in time, taking them to the glorious eternal promised land. He's calling us out and he's calling us in too. Again, invisible union, Brother Branham, some of you people that really believe this to be the truth, that we're entering into another age. We're entering into the rapture age. It's moving right now. The move is on for the bride. That's the truth. That's thus saith the Lord. Why is Brother Abraham saying this? Because the ministry is that of Zerubbabel, and he must make a place for the headstone to be able to sin. He's got to make it a plane so it can sit down on us. Now remember, on the first advent of the cornerstone, when Jesus come, John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah. He prepared the way for the Lord. And so he introduced Christ, the cornerstone, to the people. Amen. In 1932, Brother Ram was baptized in the Ohio River. He said, and the Lord spoke to him from the light and said, as John the Baptist, forerun the first coming, your message will forerun the second. So it's a perfect parallel with John the Baptist, as it is in this messenger of Laodicea, is trying to introduce the bride to someone else. Amen, somebody. Because it speaks of John in Malachi 3:1, where Malachi said, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And when you delight in it, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The messenger's type is to introduce and prepare a place for the Messiah to be able to come. And after the place is prepared, he's going to suddenly come to his temple. He's going to descend upon his temple. Amen. Now watch. He was the rejected stone. He was the stone of scorn. He was rejected. Matthew picks it up. And Jesus said to them, Matthew 8:20, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his. You're with me now, ain't you? He wants a place to lay his head. He's looking for somewhere that the head can descend upon and rest upon. Jesus is going to have a body. Jesus is going to have a church. He's going to have a place to lay his head. This is the hour of the descending of the headstone. He has a place to lay his head. It's not going to lay upon the church. It's not going to lay upon Pentecost. It can only lay upon that bride who is elected for the ages. Give me that second slide, brother. He's looking for a place to lay his head. And in 1963, a man was up on Sunset Mountain. Amen, somebody. He's looking for something. He's looking for a place to lay his head. He's looking for a place. What's he looking for? A body to unite with. And the problem is they brought in creeds and dogmas. But I want you to remember, the mountain's going to be made a plain. Who art thou, O great mountain? That stands for Zerubbabel. The headstone has descended. I'll remind you, David said, I want you to hide me under the shadows of the wings of the Almighty. Hide me in the secret of His temple, in the secret place of the Most High. I want you to hide me under the wings. Amen. Then David says it again in Psalms 91. And remember, it come on wings. Underneath the angel's wings. Under the angel's wings is where the mercy seat is at. Under the angel's wings is where the original word is at. John the Baptist prepared a place. God's only provided a place of worship in 1965. And the pyramid being those foundations up to this, up to the king's chamber. Watch now. The pyramid being those foundations up to the king's chamber. Just before you hit the seventh wall, there's a little introduction plank there where a messenger comes out to bring you to the king. Introduction plank. Introducing the oncomer to something. Or I'll say, the overcomer to something. The messenger, John the Baptist, introduces the king. Abraham says like this in Feast of the Trumpets 64. He said, you got to go into the prophet's chamber. You watch them seven steps. Where did the guard meet the challenge? Where did the guard meet the challenge to bring the corner into the presence of the king? At the top of the steps. Where are we finding in the time of trouble? According to Psalms 27, the time of trouble is at the top of the steps. Where is the Antichrist move in this hour coming against the bride? At the top. Notice he says at the top of steps, there shows that we've got to come again with that same spirit that was on John. He introduced the Messiah. He was greater than all the prophets. He introduced it. And we've got to come to a place again to something that's going to introduce the Messiah. And as the light is struck. Now watch, he's talking about the light that come down on the lens, on the picture of the pillar of fire over his head. And as the light struck the lens, this lens won't take psychology, but that's identified. Watch the works of it. It's among us. It's among us. It proves that Jesus that once lived in Palestine, that same spirit was upon him, has come up through a body until it's come back to headship again, which he's coming soon to claim the body. The head's coming to the body. If you get it, that'll be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star. 64, question and answers. Watch very closely. I am not he. I am not he. You got to go past the veil. That's what he said last night. We cannot stop at the veil. I am not he. I am not he. Donnie Reagan is not he. Tim Pruitt is not he. Daryl Ward is not he. Terry Horn is not he. He is Christ. They're not him, but they tabernacle the he. If they got the Holy Ghost inside of their souls, they're tabernacle the he. I'm not he, I'm his servant. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in spirit form, which was upon the Son of Man, has come now to anoint sons of men. To bring back a ministry just exactly like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. You ever played connect the dots? We learned that so young, connecting dots. I'm not very smart, but I follow step one to step two to step three. First pull, second pull, third pull. I see the headstone, brother. Again, there's a man who can turn on the light. Yesterday, Luther's men will not work for Methodist. Methodist men will not work for Pentecost. Pentecost men will not work for the day. See what I mean? Every day it comes, day by day, fresh, so it has through the church ages. Right? Luther's man was the message of justification. Wesley's message was the manifestation of the sanctification. Pentecostal was restoration of gifts. But this is the introducing of the headstone. Now, he's going to introduce the headstone. Let me hurry very quickly with this. I want to read you something, but I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible, and I trust that won't offend you, but it's so beautiful, the terminology that they use. It's familiar terminology. The Amplified Bible takes us to the preparation, just like it was in John the Baptist, and when Zechariah tells us that the headstone shall come, it shall become a plain. That word plain runs right back to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, of course, is where John the Baptist identified himself in the Scripture. And the Scripture said, as Isaiah has said. And Isaiah 40 is going to be a type of the ministry that's preparing a place for the cornerstone, and I'll say the headstone, to be able to descend, right? And he tells us this in Isaiah 40, amplified. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to the heart. I like that. Because the William Branham didn't come to turn your eyes back. Come to turn your heart back. Speak tenderly to the heart of Jerusalem. Call out to her that her sad days is gone. Her time of warfare is finished. That her wickedness has been taken away, since the punishment is sufficient. Her iniquity is pardoned. She's received from the Lord's hand. Double. Not just grace, but grace, grace. She's received from the Lord's hand double. Instead of punishment, she's received grace for all of her sins. Can I say it? Our sad days is gone. We're not living under a church age mentality. This is the day that the bride has longed to see. This is the hour of the rapture. This is the hour of the catching away. This is the hour where we're changed from mortal to immortality. He tells you your warfare is accomplished. He says, her iniquity is pardoned. Why is my iniquity pardoned? Because I've come into a visible union with Christ. And she's hidden away in the secret of His pavilion. The secret place of the Most High. She's hiding in Christ. And He can't see her sin because all you can see is Him. He says her punishment is sufficient. How? It's because I paid for my sins in that body, that tabernacle of Jesus. Amen, somebody. That's why Brother Ram said you're the pure, spotless bride of Jesus Christ as the unadulterated word comes to. That's why he could say you never done it in the first place, because she's hiding in that secret place of the Most High. Isaiah goes on to say, he says, the voice of one calling out, clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Remove the obstacles. Make a plain, in other words. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised. Every mountain, oh thou great mountain, every mountain shall be made low. And let the rough places on the ground become a plain. What's he doing? Preparing a place for the headstone to be able to sit on. He's saying, clear the way. The headstone is going to sit upon this plain, and it's got to be made smooth for him to sit on. Bring down every mountain that stands before every believer. Bring down every ideal that stands before every believer. Tear down every enemy's thoughts that's trying to stop the progression of this rapture. Stop the enemy in his tracks and tell him that he's already lost the battle. Level out every man's ideal. Make straight. Level out. Make it a plain. A place for the headstone to descend. Isaiah goes on to say in verse 5, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor of the Lord will be revealed. Hallelujah. It will be how? Revealed. For all humanity shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In other words, a voice of God's going to introduce the fullness of the headstone. Verse 6, a voice says, call out prophecy. Call out and prophesy. Then he answered and said, what shall I call out? I told them their sins is pardoned. I told them they're hiding in the secret place of the Most High. I told them they got a place that's a safety, a place of refuge. I told them they don't have to fear. I told them when their enemy comes upon their flesh to eat them up, they're going to stumble and fall. What else could I tell this bride? What else could I tell them? I mean, what more can I tell them? The voice answered and said, humanity is frail as grass, and that maketh the tract of his charm, his loveliness. It's momentary like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, most certainly all people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of God's going to stand forever. In other words, everything that raises itself up is going to be dissolved and fade away. Those that come against the headstone will just be dissolved and fade away to nothing. When man's thoughts try to add to it, it's going to fade away to nothing. But there's a prophecy in this hour. And he says, what in the world should I tell them? Tell them the word of God's going to stand. And then verse 9, he says, oh, you who brings the good news to Zion. And Brother Ram in the message of the future home says, Zion represents the bride. And he says, oh, you good news to the bride. Get up on that high mountain. Get up into that pyramid. Get up as high as you can go. Go to the capstone is at. Oh, you who brings the good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and do not fear. Say to the cities of praise. Here's your God. Here is your God. You're prophesy the gospel. Prophesy and tell them to get up high. But I want you to remember, tell them not to fear. Tell them, why shouldn't I fear? Why shouldn't I be dismayed? Behold your God. Why shouldn't I give up? Behold your God. Why shouldn't we give in? Behold your God. Tell them not to give up. Tell them not to quit. Behold the headstone. Your God is here. From that time, Brother Ramsey says, my ministry is different from the ministry from a pastor or a teacher. If I say something wrong, brother, forgive me, I don't mean it. This is my ministry. This is my ministry, is to declare that He's here. I will remind you, in every age of the church, in every age of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, in every age, the coming of the Lord was always in a future tense. Under the Ephesian age, Revelation chapter 5, he says, remember from when thou fall and repent, do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. And then the Smyrna age, Revelation 2:16, repent, or else I'll come unto thee quickly. Then we find Thyatira says, verse 25, but that which you already hold fast till I come. Sardis, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard of the hold fast, and repented, therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief. The sixth age, Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. I'm coming. I'm coming. I've been raising from the feet. I've moved to the thighs. I've moved past the breast. I've come to the voice. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hears my voice, open the door and I'll come into him. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. And in the last age, I'm here. Is to declare that He is here. How is He here? In the form of the revealed word of the open book. My angel has descended with a little book open in his hands. He's coming to announce the bride. She's coming to her position. Matthew 24, I'll just remind you very quickly. Matthew 24 is speaking of the rapture. He said, likewise, when you shall see all these things, you know that it is near, even at the... Revelation 24 deals with the rapture. And he says, when you see these things, you'll know that the rapture is near. It's even at the door. Mark 13:32 says, but of that day the hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Now watch, Jesus is going to give a parable. He said, for the Son of Man, amen somebody, is a man that's taken a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. He commanded the porter to watch. Amen somebody. Who is the porter watching for? The coming of the Son of Man. Mark 13:35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. What's he watching for? Master of the house. What's he watching for? The Son of Man. What's he watching for? The coming of the headstone. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly, he finds you as a foolish virgin. Come on somebody. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. John picks it up in John 10:1. Remember now, the porter's commanded to watch. John 10:1 says, verily I say to you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and the robber. The Son of Man's not climbing up another way. Come on somebody. But it's he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I said the one coming through the door, it's going to be the shepherd. The one coming through the door, it's going to be the master of the house. The one coming through the door, it's going to be the headstone. He said he's going to be the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and they sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from them, him, for they know not the voice of strangers. It's the ministry of the porter. Watch now. It's the job of the porter. The porter stands in the house. The family in the house would be resting, waiting. The porter is watching. He's watching for somebody to come to the door. And when somebody would come to the door, the porter's job is to turn to the people of the house, the people of the temple, the people of the tabernacle. And his job is to announce to the people who is standing at the door. Hallelujah! When you recognize who's standing at the door, it's going to be the shepherd of the sheep. And my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. A stranger they will not follow. The Bible says in John 10:3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. So when the headstone descends, and the porter turns and announces to the people, and he says he's here, the shepherd of the sheep, not the porter, the shepherd, begins to call his own sheep by their names. And Brother Branham said in Revelation chapter 5 that John was weeping because the book was not taken. But Brother Branham said Revelation chapter 5 coincides directly with Revelation chapter 10. Amen. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, I, John, wept. And I'm going to say this, John was weeping. But all of a sudden, John's weeping went from weeping to rejoicing. And I'll tell you why it went from weeping to rejoicing. Because John was waiting for the lion, the judge, the king, to judge him out of it. But besides a lion proceeding forth, a lamb come forth. Come on, somebody. The lamb come forth, and he took the book out of the hand. And John, Brother Ram said, John began to scream. John began to holler. John got excited. John, why are you excited? Because Brother Ram said that John saw when that book come open, his name was underneath that book. And when John saw his name, John got excited because he heard the voice of the bridegroom. He heard the voice of the shepherd calling his name. What did he say? He's here. I said he's here. As our musicians come, Isaiah finishes it like this. Listen carefully. The Lord will come with might, and his arm will rule for him. And most certainly his reward is with him. Amen. Revelation 3, come on. And his restitution accompanies him. Hallelujah. Restoration he brings with him. When the headstone comes to take the body back to where she come from, he's bringing their reward with him. My reward is a brand new body. Your reward is a brand new body. We're going to receive a new body. And I want to say this. We've already heard from that theophany. Because when you recognize the message being of food, you heard from it. And the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. Hallelujah. And his restitution accompanies him, verse 11. And he will protect his flock like a shepherd. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He will gather the lambs in his arms and will carry them in his bosom. Yes, sir. Stand on our feet. Very good. Praise the Lord. For him says like this, improving his word. Oh, Lord, we can keep going on. I got 30-something pages. Proving his word, Brother Ram says, it shall be light. It'll be a day that's not called day or night, making up that body. But the same head that was in the east is here in the west again. Says it like this, Luther's manna will not work for the Methodist medicine, will not work for the Pentecost. I love this. Pentecostal manna will not work for the day soon. Ain't every day it come day by day fresh, and so it has to the church ages. Luther's manna was a message of justification. Wesley was a manifestation. But this is the introducing of the headstone, friends. It's the finishing up. It's the finishing up. What's he finishing, Brother David? He's getting every stone right in its right place. He's getting everything just perfectly, just fit, just the way it needs to be as he's building from the feet to the head. But then there's a gap there between, Brother Ram says. Because God's got to make a way for the headstone to be able to descend. But I want to say this. Brother Ram put the word Holy Spirit in between the capstone because that's exactly what he's got to sit upon. It's got to be life of his life, flesh of his flesh, word upon his word. It's got to be him. So, Brother David, how in the world am I ever going to do that? I'm dependent on him, brother and sister. I've heard the voice. I've come out. I've been called up. I've been caught up. Brother, we've been caught up in the heavenly places. Think about it. God's going to have a resting place, a body thou hast prepared me. Where is that body? It's right here in this building this morning. Let me read you this quote just before we sing something. The very last quote, Christ the Mystery God Revealed, paragraph 582. I just can't leave this one out. It's too good. But Rem says it like this. I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Being personally identified in the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, has risen, has paid the price, and raised up with the body. The devil can't stand it. That's the reason these economical kingdoms are setting up. That's the reason they're all coming to what they're doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. I'm telling you, when the enemy comes against you to eat up your flesh, he's going to howl. But that's all he's got. He's got a lot of bark, but he ain't got no bite. Just like when I was a kid in school, they was a bully. And I couldn't stand them. Bullied everybody around. I always had something to say. I always had something smart to say. And always had to threaten me. And I was scared to death of that bully. But one day he caught me over in the gym. And when they caught me in the gym, I was in trouble. But I stood up to that old bully. And I said, "You listen here, lady. What? It was a girl, all right? I said, "You listen here, lady. I'll pull your hair out." She went, "Huh," and took off walking. Satan's an old bully. "Who art thou, O great mountain that stands for Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain." Brother M says, all the howling. I'll listen to that. That's the reason they're coming to it now. The reason he's howling the way he is, his wickedness is being, his scheme has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ, the headship over his body. You think I'm beside myself? I'm not. We've got the devil's answer. That's not me that liveth, but Christ the Word living in me. It's not my idea, it's his power. Not my idea, it's his word. He promised, here it is. He said it would be, here it again. We got his answer. Hallelujah. I want to know how it feels. Brother Joel Yance, won't you come and help us sing this morning? I don't even see you in this place. Is he here? Brother Harry, you're going to sing it if he don't make it up here. Anybody see Brother Joel Yance? I want to know how it feels.
Weeks ago.
Hallelujah.
I want to know how it
feels. Oh, yes.
To have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like. My feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. I want to know how it feels. To make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. I want to know. Streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. Streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know how it's like to rest my feet by the river. victory. I want to know how it feels. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. Saints of old, I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I heard of heaven and I know that it's real. Mama and Daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compares to what's waiting up there. How one day we will finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep believing it's a place like I've never known. Keep my eyes on the sky. My soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like. Life that I'm living seems peace is something I never find. I try to light my load when all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. But I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river, fish is forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see. Look at the love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. I'm going to know how. I'm going to know how it feels.
And the people shouted with a great shout when they saw the tabernacle restored back into that same place. God bless his holy name. Oh, glory. My God is awesome. There's sing for us. Oh, glory to God. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise him enough right now. Restore back the silver. Restore back the gold. Bring the redemption into place. Bring deity back upon the body. Put them back into their position. Then take the whole house of God back to glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. My God is awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. My God is awesome.
You're so awesome.
He is awesome.
Oh.
The Savior of the whole world, the Giver of salvation, by His stripes I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. I praise His holy name. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken, gives strength when I've been weakened. Praise His holy name. My God is awesome.
Yes, He's
awesome.
Awesome.
He's awesome. He is awesome.
My refuge.
Stripes I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. I praise His holy name. My God is awesome.